Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to NOCIL Limited Q1 FY26 earnings conference call. This conference call may contain forward-looking statements about the company, which are based on the beliefs, opinions, and expectations of the company as on the date of this call. The statements are not a guarantee of future performance and involve risks and uncertainties that are difficult to predict. As a reminder, all participants' lines will be in listen-only mode. There will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. V.S. Anand, Managing Director from NOCIL Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Thank you, Pari. Thank you and good afternoon, everyone. I'd like to start by expressing my appreciation for your presence today. Joining me are Mr. P. Srinivasan, our Chief Financial Officer, and our Investor Relations Advisors from SGA. I hope you've all received our investor presentation. If not, please, it's available on both the stock exchange and our company's website. During the quarter, revenue from operations stood at 336 crores, registering a flattish performance on a sequential basis. Volume and exports continued to show moderate growth. However, in the domestic market, we continue to experience dumping pressure. In such challenging market conditions, we continue with our approach of having a judicious mix of price and volume play. On the domestic front, to counter this dumping pressure, we have filed anti-dumping petitions on some of our key products with the Government of India. We are happy to inform that the government, having found merits, has initiated detailed investigations, the outcome of which is expected in the coming months. On a positive note, our export business continues to demonstrate growth momentum. Growth in the segment continues to be supported by incremental approvals from different locations from our long-standing international customers. Now, a few lines on the industry and the market environment. For the ongoing year, the Indian tire industry is expected to grow in the mid-single digits on the back of a healthy replacement demand. Increasing spend on infrastructure is expected to support the demand for commercial vehicle tires. On the non-tire sector front, the domestic auto component industry, one of the drivers for the demand of rubber chemicals in this sector, is expected to continue to grow, albeit at a lower level compared to the previous year. But it also goes without saying that the developing U.S. tariff scenario could have a bearing on these sectors. In the international tire sector, most markets indicate a slight positive uptick in replacement demand. On the other hand, the latex sector in Southeast Asia has been going through some temporary uncertainty, especially on account of the U.S. tariffs in the last few months. While we continue to operate in an uncertain and fluid market environment with short-term challenges, at NOCIL, we continue to keep our focus on the essentials, critical for long-term business growth. Our focus will be on intensifying and expanding our presence with our key domestic and international customers, sweating our assets, driving operational excellence, that is, delivering best-in-class efficiencies, accelerating the commercialization of new products, and leveraging digitalization and sustainability initiatives that are already underway to give us a competitive advantage in the marketplace. While the first quarter may have started off a tad slower off the blocks, we remain confident of staying on our volume growth path. That's it from my side. I now invite Mr. P. Srinivasan to provide an overview of our financial performance.
Thank you, Mr. Anand, and good afternoon to everyone. Let's run through the consolidated key highlights of the consolidated financial statements for the quarter ended June 25. On the sales volume front, the volumes for Q1 FY26 is at 133, taking a base of Q1 FY20 as 100, virtually a similar number as compared to the previous quarter. Revenue terms, the net revenue from operation for Q1 FY26 stood at 336 crores as against 340 crores in Q4 FY25. As I said, value volumes for Q1 26 were stable on a quarter-to-quarter basis. Coming to the EBITDA parameters, on the operating EBITDA parameters for Q1 FY26,
stood at 31 crores as against 34 crores in Q4 FY25, with EBITDA margins for the quarter recording at 9.1%. Coming to profit before tax, the profit before tax stood at 23 crores for Q1 FY26 as compared to 26 crores for Q4 FY25. On the profit after tax element, PAT for Q1 FY26 stood at 17 crores as compared to 21 crores in Q4 FY25. With this, we would like to open the floor for question and answers.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Nirav Jumadia and from the company of Anvil Wealth. Please go ahead.
Yeah, sir. Good afternoon and thanks for the opportunity. Sir, I have a few questions to ask. So, sir, first is when we see our volumes from last 2 years, based on the indexation what we have given in the presentation, it has largely remained flat. You alluded to some of the facts in your opening remarks, but just wanted to understand, like, even during this period, our EBITDA per kg has also corrected similar to the fall in the gross margins, which is a value addition. So the question here is that, let's say if we consider X of China and X of India market, has the remaining market expanded in last 2 years in terms of the volumes in an absolute basis? And if yes, by how much? Along with it, if you can also share your views with respect to the engagement with the customers, which we have alluded in the annual report. So based on your customer engagements and fructifying with some of the customers, when can we see, or let's say from which of the quarters we would start seeing these discussions into the incremental volumes for NOSIL? And also if you can share, like, based on these interactions and discussions with the customers, which geography you feel that this could help us to gain those incremental volumes?
Yeah, thank you. Thanks, Nirav. I'll take the second one first, and then I'd probably request you to go back to the first one because it was not completely clear to me.
No.
So the first one, so customer engagements, clearly we see that there is traction, and what is also happening on the volume, alluding to the earlier part of the first question, was I think one way or the other with all the geopolitical situation, also we see in some product lines there's a bit of an offsetting. So in some quarters we had a bit of a latex impact, so our export business didn't really gain traction, while the non-latex part of the business continued to grow in quite a planned and structured manner, which is what we continue to see on that front. Engagement with customers, and like we've mentioned in the past, it's clearly strategic and long-term, so we see the gradual expansion with each of these customers, primarily beginning first with Asia, and then Europe, and then parts of North and South America. That's the way it's actually playing out. Because of also geographical proximity, it works out from that point of view. It is moving along quite well. I must say that in spite of challenges that we had in between, both in terms of demand and in terms of approval, because the speed of approval is completely not the same always. But I must say it is moving along quite well. So that was the second part, if I was able to answer that. On the first part, can you just come again, Nirav, just to be sure?
So my question was, let's say if we consider the two broad categories of accelerators and antioxidants, X of China and X of India, let's say if we exclude both these markets, whether the rest of the market has expanded in terms of the absolute volumes in last 2 years, and if yes, by how much? Some understanding over here.
Neerav, basically this can be derived from Srinivas here, sorry. Neerav, if you look at China per se from the IRIC data in the last 2 years, one gets a feeling that
we're just looking at the data.
Just a second. Has grown up by almost 1.9% in the last year, and India is growing up by 3.1%. This is the IRSD data. But if you go to the Europe and USA, or Japan for that matter, Europe has in last 23 degrew by 7%, and in 24 it has grown marginally by 5%. You go to USA, coming to USA, we see it's degrown by 5% this year, 24, as against 2.7% marginal growth in 23. So, on the whole, what we are seeing in the rubber chemicals space, we are seeing a growth of hardly 2%. Given China and India are growing and other markets degrowing, if you see from our performance, in the last 2 years, your export performance has clocked double-digit growth. That means there is some traction, the discussions, and those discussions are yielding some traction is very, very evidently visible. I hope I am able to answer some of your question.
Yes, sir. Just to add a bit here, so if I understand it correctly, on a base of, let's say, 10 lakh tons of market globally, you mean to say that possibly X of China and India, if we exclude both these markets, which is like close to around 4 lakh 50 or let's say 5 lakh.
Much more.
Yeah. So rest of the market has grown by just 2%.
Yeah.
So close to around 8 to 10,000 tons of volumes would have been added to this base of rest of the geographies where possibly we would have grown double digit. Is this the right assumption to make?
Yeah, yes. You can say that.
Correct. And sir, when... can we see, so like just to add here one more thing is based on the interactions and various stages of discussions with the customers, when or let's say from which of the quarters we could see actually this volumes flowing to us?
So it is flowing even currently. There are products and projects at different stages of approval. Right from sampling to commercial volumes, to the final stages. And it's not only limited to just one or two products, but a wider basket of products that is also happening as a change. Yeah. So all at multiple stages, I would say there.
Correct. So just to reframe my question further, like what we've been saying is that in the presentation I'm talking about, the wage expansion is being seeing strong demand visibility. So possibly if you can elaborate a bit here, and what I could make out from is that possibly that product we are quite stronger in the market, and based on that, possibly once that production starts, the capacities could be filled up much faster, and that could help us to get some volume growth next year. Is the right assumption to make? Your thoughts here based on the presentation statements what you have made.
Clearly that's a product which is used across the rubber sector, both in the tire as well as in the non-tire space. And we see that given that we are already quite full on utilization on that product, we're already debottlenecked over the past years. It was critical that we looked at expanding the volumes, and very clearly, I think there is clear positivity and optimism that we will be looking to start ramping it up. So it will go through the same approval process. We will have to be patient through that process. customers will have to approve the product because it is a new site again. But then we are quite positive of pushing up the volumes. Yeah.
The last from my side is one of the statements in the presentation also mentioned that we have been working on 8 strategic levers of growth.
Yes.
So if you can elaborate what it means to NOSIL and how can we see or when can we see the benefits of this strategic levers into the P&L and the volumes part. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks, Nirav. Yeah. So, yeah, we have elaborated a bit on those strategic levers in our annual report. You will see a bit more on that. So, it's actually a combination of talking about what's extremely critical for the business, both in terms of in multiple areas of the market, which is geographical expansion, investments ahead of the demand growth. Talks about innovation in terms of looking at new products beyond process efficiency improvements and products that we have created in the past. It speaks about operational excellence in terms of our efficiency measures, digitalization and sustainability, which cuts across, and last but not the least, the people element, which is quite important. We've already a lot of measures under each of those strategic levers. We keep tracking them. We keep a watch on the progress with regard to that. Quite a few of it we already see bearing fruit as we go along. So even the expansion that we had announced was also in line with that, as well as quite a bit of our R&D efforts, which is also in the direction of looking at new products. So quite a few of the actions are already underway, and slowly as time goes by, we see that accelerating in terms of showing up in the results.
Okay, sir, a few more questions to ask, but I'll join back in the queue. Thank you so much and wish you all the best.
Thank you. Thanks.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, I would like to remind participants you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Aditya Ketan from SMIFS Institutional Equities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you, sir, for the opportunity. So just a couple of questions. Sir, in this quarter, sir, when we look, although the growth has been maintained, we see that EBITDA spreads have declined. Earlier, sir, what I think the management has clearly alluded the fact that in the coming quarters, so the conversion cost would be lower. This we have alluded, I think, so 2 to 3 quarters back. But still, like, it is not visible in the numbers that the conversion cost is coming down. Any idea, sir, you can provide why these numbers are still higher?
Yes, Srinivas here. So basically, when you are looking at the conversion cost, you have to look at the activity for the quarter vis-a-vis the previous quarter. And per se, the activity for the quarter was on the higher side, and therefore that conversion cost reflects that, and it is not proportional to the activity, it is much less lower than that. If I may say, the activity has increased by about 20% thereabout in the production of intermediates and finished goods as compared to the sequential, if you look at the sequential quarter, the conversion cost is reflecting that. And secondly, and also in the overall CSR commitment, for the annual commitment as per the statutory compliance, we have front-loaded about 60% of the CSR expenses in the first quarter. So these are the two major reasons one can attribute.
Got it, sir. Sir, just you mentioned to the fact that activity has been higher. So actually the sales volume on YOY basis, so that looks to be lower, but you are stating the fact that the production volume is higher.
Yeah, production volume is higher. What you will not see is the stock change effect is not, ideally speaking, there should have been reflected a higher stock change credit, but because the prices of the raw materials are coming down, you are seeing a lower component.
Got it. Sir, on to the raw materials, like for the last, sir, so 3 to 4 months, aniline prices have corrected by roughly 25% to 30%. So just wanted to know, have you factored in the complete effect, and in the coming quarters, can we see some component of inventory loss also?
No, I think most of those things have happened in the Q1. Some portion, maybe some small portion is pending in Q2 in the form of finished goods. Otherwise, all aniline are procured at the latest competitive rates.
consumed at latest competitive rates.
Okay, okay. Sir, coming to the third question, sir, in the presentation, like you have mentioned the fact that Norfin has a favorable positioning. Sir, just wanted to know, are we talking of some technological positioning or better product positioning or the client positioning, like which is helping us? Because sir, on the numbers, it is not visible as of now. So just wanted to know, which part are we alluding this to?
Yes, yes, Aditya, I think you're right. Not completely reflected in the numbers, absolutely right. I would say the favorable position is contributed by multiple factors. It's not only the fact that we have certain economies of scale in terms of the ability to supply key products, sizable volumes. We are kind of also backward integrated in the key products in terms of accelerators as well as antioxidants, unlike many other players. And also coming to the fact about being the China plus one element in terms of being a non-Chinese player, these are some of the factors. So the technology plays in terms of the backward integration as well as then the capacities as well as the position of non-Chinese player in certain products. In certain products, we're the only non-Chinese player. So I think these things kind of put us into a favorable position.
Got it. So just one last question. As you mentioned in your presentation that so there has been positive activity towards the anti-dumping duty. If suppose the anti-dumping duty is imposed, how much incremental EBITDA should be factored in?
I think it's too premature to comment on it because it is under an investigation process and the government will study and make their own calculations and then come out. So I think it's too premature to even quantify any important effect on that.
Sir, just to add on to this, this anti-dumping duty is on the similar products like which has been imposed in 2014?
No, it's not on all the six products. It's on three of the old products and one, I would say it is, if you see the notification, it's on the main antioxidants, Pelflex 13 and TDQ and a set of sulfonamides.
Got it. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ranjit Shivaram from Mahindra Manulife Mutual. Please go ahead.
Yeah, I have here seen that the volumes are getting very loose.
Ranjit, we are not able to hear you.
Ranjit, sir, we request you to speak loudly or come to your device closely.
Is it audible now?
Slightly better, but there seems to be some kind of an echo. Yeah, please go ahead. We'll try and hear.
Yeah, so basically just wanted to check with you the volume growth. When do you see this to turn around, the overall volume growth?
Yeah, so if I understood you, Ranjit, right, I think your question was the volume turnaround, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. So, like I mentioned in my opening statement, while we aspire to keep the volume growth in double digits, last year the last financial year we had about 4% volume growth. There is still volume positive on a sequential basis, but like I said in my statement. There is a bit of a disturbance in the background, let me keep it short. So we are positive that there will be volume growth to in this year too. Yeah. Ranjit, were you able to hear me? Yeah.
So will it be a double digit volume growth, or you feel that still it is time to get into that kind of growth rate? Hello.
Yes. So given the situation and the plan is clearly to look at double digit volume growth, but it would be difficult to put my finger on to say how much, where will it be precisely in this particular calendar year. Yeah.
Okay. And amongst your two major product, which is the one which you are seeing more challenge in terms of growth?
Amongst the two products, is it? Sorry.
Yeah. One is that anti accelerators and the antioxidants.
Yeah.
So in that, which one is the challenging one in terms of growth? Where, in which of these you are seeing more challenges?
We not only have antioxidants and accelerators, we also have a pre-vulcanization inhibitor, which is another additive, a few other products. That is not a challenge to grow. I would say it is also dependent on the consumption. Each of these products go in different consumption, so the growth will be in proportion to that.
Okay. And there was some expectation regarding Japanese players opening up to our product, moving out of China. So what is the situation there? Have they done with their trial of our products, and where do they stand? Are they standing in a place of giving us orders, or are they still doing their trials?
Yeah. So these are multiple products, multiple sites. I kind of referred to this in one of the earlier questions. So they are at different stages. It's part of the supply chain de-risking that typical large customers do. And so we are at different stages, and there are already volumes which are commercialized. We are also selling in, and they are also at different stages at this point in time.
Okay. So we have started supplying to these Japanese tire companies. Is that right understanding?
Yes.
Okay. And another thing, of this 250 crore CapEx, how much is currently completed, and how much is pending, and what kind of asset turns do you expect from this CapEx?
So as of March 25, Ranjit, I think we may have spent about 30% of the overall budget. Of course, there are commitments. The expenditure is a large part of the expenditure is expected during this financial year, FY25-26. Insofar as the asset turnover ratio, it depends on the rolling prices at that particular point of time. Typically, we look at an asset turnover ratio of  1.8-2.2 for our rubber chemical business.
Okay, so that 30% of the capacity addition there, have we started utilizing those capacities?
No. I think 30% of the project is completed, not commissioned. It is the project as we, if there is a time which involves to complete the project, implement the project, and mechanical completion to be ready, trials will be conducted. What we are talking about a 250 crore budget, 30% has been expended so far as of March 25th.
Okay.
It's in CWIP in the financial terms. CWIP, capital work in progress.
Okay. So when do we expect the first revenues to start from this additional facility? Will it be this year or next year?
We expect the commission trial production to start during H1 FY26-27. So post-trials and approvals from the customer, hopefully in H2 FY27, sometime in H2 FY27, you should see the revenues kicking in.
Okay. So apart from this, what is our capacity utilization of the current facilities which we have?
It's about 65%, 67%.
Okay. So we have that runway to grow by taking the 65% to 80% to 90% till that new facility comes.
Yes. So again, this is the 65%. It's all multiple products. So the 65% is an average of all the products put together. So most of them, we already have the runway to grow further. Yeah.
Okay. Okay, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nitesh Dutt from Anand Rathi Institutional Equity. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, team. So just a question on the anti-dumping duties again. So for TDQ and PX-13, I believe, the investigation is underway, as you said, and the hearing is due in September. So can you just, help us with how much TBQ contributes in terms of volumes or revenue, to our current numbers, and also PX-13 separately, if possible?
I think, Nitesh, good afternoon, Srinivas here. I think we have indicated the antioxidants business in the annual report in terms of in the BRSR section. You can pick it up from there. Around about 60%.
All right. Okay. So my next question is on the MBT. So basically, I'm coming from the fact that China Sunshine has been significantly expanding MBT capacity there, almost about 60,000 tons. I think the second phase is about to come in the second half. So do you see a direct threat to your domestic MBT sales or pricing there? Or, what's your take on that?
Nitesh, the market is already kind of operating under that environment, and because there is an excess supply already of these accelerators. So whatever comes in the next phase is just going to be further incremental. So we're already operating in that environment. Yeah? So I don't see any significant change, more specific with that additional capacities coming in.
And in terms of our current production, current cost structures, etc., compared with the solvent-based MBT, how would NOCIL stack up there currently? And if any process upgrades or technology changes you would need to kind of move towards solvent MBTs?
Yeah. So we are competitive in comparison in terms of product to product. There are other benefits that come from Chinese supplies, especially like the export subsidy, which they get when they export. But otherwise, we are largely on competitive par with them.
Oh, sure. Just one last bookkeeping question there. On your, you mentioned that the export volumes have shown moderate growth in the quarter. And if you could just quantify how much growth we've seen in export volumes and what has been the domestic export mix for Q1?
It's about 3%-3.5% export volume growth. This quarter got impacted. I think Anand, in his opening remark, made a mention about latex product suffering a degrowth on account of the U.S. tariff in a temporary market, because of which our export growth got moderated at 3.5%.
Oh, sure. So I'm sorry, just hopping on that anti-dumping point again. If you could just, maybe if possible, how much of our revenues get covered if all the three duties come in, if possible to kind of give out that number? I recollect that you had mentioned somewhere closer to 40%-45%.
Yeah, it's okay. You're bang on, around 40%.
So this is for all the three products put together, that is.
Yeah, yeah.
Including the sulfonamide.
Yeah. All the products which are under an anti-dumping investigation, we are about 40% of the business, constitute 40% of the business.
All right. Perfect. Thank you. Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you. A reminder to participants, if you wish to ask question, you may press star and one on your touchtone phone. The next question is from the line of Harshal Parekh from Equitas Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. Sir, I just wanted to understand that how strategically are we positioned with our customers, especially in the domestic market? Since my understanding was that our customer relationship is quite sticky in nature, right? Since approvals and validations require some 6 months-18 months. However, with this aggressive dumping in last two years, it seems that the domestic tire manufacturers can easily switch to Chinese and Korean suppliers depending on the cost. So just wanted to again understand that how strategic we are for these tire manufacturers.
We are one of the long-term strategic suppliers for our tire customers domestically, and that's why in spite of the competition and the heavy weather that tends to happen, we still keep quite a dominant share with most of our tire customers. It comes from the historic products and the product portfolio, as well as the supplier reliability that has been built over the years. You're right. So these Chinese and Korean players, they're obviously only after their approval can they begin to supply. So sometimes it does tend to change a bit here and there in terms of share to a certain extent because of pricing. But by and large, still local producers like us tend to have a good share with our tire customers.
So, sir, have we gained any market share in last 2 years, or have we lost any market share due to this dumping?
So, per se, even the overall, while we do see value-wise, there has been increase in the turnover of certain businesses in India. I'd say volume-wise, it's in terms of rubber consumption also, it's not been such a sharp growth. More or less, our market share has been pretty much flat over the last 2 to 3 years.
Okay. Sir, another question on the exports market, since we have mentioned China plus one strategy as one of our growth drivers. But on the other end, we also see these Chinese volumes getting absorbed by companies globally. So just wanted to understand how serious are the tire manufacturers on de-risking their supply chains and all.
Again, it's a perspective that is taken by certain tire companies. Some tire companies still go by what is critical at that point in time. So we do see that it's beyond lip service. Quite a few of them are pretty much acting on it, and they're very consequential about it. Yeah.
Okay, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Radha from BK Securities. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. So my first question is, with 50% tariff from India, so Europe can become more competitive in terms of catering to US market. So how do you see export volume growth, particularly in US, in light of this scenario, and also any other changes in terms of export market that you are hoping?
Yeah, so we're kind of distributed across the globe, right? A larger share is in Asia, followed by Europe, and then the Americas. So there will be a marginal impact. Like we said yesterday at the call, also Chairman had mentioned about the U.S. is about 4 to 5%, roughly around that range of our business, and we expect that we'll have to wait and watch in this situation, because some of our customers we do have long term commitments, so there are some products which they buy from us only. So I don't see. I think it's better to just wait and watch how the situation develops. But at the same time, we do have other avenues that we are working on, both in Europe as well as in Asia.
So what other avenues, sir?
Sorry?
What other avenues are you talking about, sir?
I spoke about the other more customers in Europe as well as in Asia. Yeah. Latin America too.
Okay, sir. So with India trying to now have strong relationships with Russia and China, if there is a scenario that the anti-dumping duty is not implemented, then how do you see in that scenario your volumes to grow for the next 2 years?
Yeah, so the anti-dumping duty is only one of the measures. There are many other measures that are also underway, and like we have said, we've been working quite heavily on the operational efficiency front, which is a continual improvement process that we're working on. We're also looking at newer products, and I think it's about also extracting the full benefits of our operating leverages with our utilization levels. So we do have other measures which are in place and which are parallelly running, irrespective of the outcome of the anti-dumping.
Yes, sir. Just continuing with your answer, you mentioned about looking at operating leverage. So from the current prices, if we, I believe that if we undercut in terms of pricing in order to fill the capacity, post which you'll see significant improvement in, I mean, operating leverage benefit. So at this point, does that seem to be the right strategy, and would that be a strategy that you're looking at going ahead?
Yeah, so we on a periodic basis, and we look at, depending on the market situation, it is a call that we will take, which is a judicious mix between both price and volume. Obviously, it has to overall benefit, and then we take the call accordingly. Yeah.
Okay, so in previous calls and this call also, you mentioned that anti-dumping duty has been filed for products which contribute about 40 to 45% of your revenue. So what about the balance 60% of the products? Will you be filing anti-dumping duty for the same as well? And by when do you expect the duty to be implemented?
I think on the other 50-55%, some portion is getting exported, so it's a freely competitive one, and where we are very competitive. Secondly, on all those other products, our margins are quite reasonable.
Okay. And, sir, what about some new grades that you were talking about last year? Some niche applications for the rubber application for niche products. Any update on that?
Yeah, so there is, it's quite in advanced stages, I would say. We are in customer trial. So there are 2-3 products in the pipeline, one of them which is at customer trial. And we expect some commercialization towards the end of the year. But yeah, I think volume ramp up will take some time, as is the case with all these products, because it's not only about customer acceptance, it's also the about building the capability to produce. So I think all these things will come into play. But that's where we are on the stage. Yeah.
So do we need to put extra capital to manufacture these products, or you can manufacture at the current facility?
Not initially. It can be manufactured initially at the current facility. Yeah.
Okay, so thanks. I'll come back in the queue.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nirav Jumadia from Anvil Wealth. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Thanks for the opportunity again. So just to continue with the earlier question on operating leverage. So let's say today we are at an index of 133, and what we have seen, I think, in between 2016 to 2019, when our volume started ramping up, the operating leverage benefit in terms of power was very commendable. So your thoughts here, like at what level of indexation the benefit of operating leverage would start kicking in, and more possibly if you can highlight along with the power, that would be very helpful.
Nirav, on the power part, I think we already have commissioned the turbine. There were some challenges in the stabilization of turbine, which we are going to enhance those benefits during the year, and which we have already mentioned that this is going to be a significant saver for utility cost per se. That's number one. Number two, in terms of optimization benefits, a continual thing. It has to, every 10% it is going to, in other words, if the index, if it is 130, 135, if it goes to 145, you will get some overheads getting optimized. As you go over 150, some more overheads will get optimized. So it's a continuous evolving process, but I think the real benefit, probably we are looking at somewhere around 160 or thereabout, where the real benefits which will be visible and significant in the operational performance. Subject to the key point caveat we have, that the pricing parameters doesn't change so drastically, or the dumping, it doesn't get more intensified. But our belief is that that should not happen, but just want to keep you aware of that.
Got it, sir. So you mentioned significant savings in the power cost once these turbines are fully stabilized. So let's say on the volumes we did in FY25 and the commensurate power cost, which was like close to around 146 crores. Let's say if we assume the similar amount of volumes, what sort of savings could accrue to us on an annual basis once these are fully stabilized and operating fully?
I think, Nirav, you should appreciate these are all sensitive data. We have to be guarded against. Yes, it is in a way significant from a utility budget perspective. That's the only point we can say at this point of time.
Got it, sir. Sir, second question is on the imports to India. So, let's say one could be coming from China, Europe, what you mentioned earlier also, but I think some of the Chinese companies are also setting up the factories in Thailand and elsewhere. So are we seeing the imports coming from these geographies also where they have been putting up their secondary plants?
Yeah, you're right. I think in some of the products we are getting, products are coming under the, imports are coming from Thailand, Korea, China, EU, etc. And the other part which we would like to add is that a couple of these destinations are FTA, free trade agreements. India has entered into that. So basically Thailand and Korea are coming under the free trade agreement.
Got it, sir. Got it. Thank you so much, sir, and wishing you all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ranjit Shivaram from Mahindra Manulife Mutual. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thanks for the opportunity again. Sir, just wanted to understand, like, what should we read regarding the margins? So from a 14% margin in 24, we have come to 10% in 25. So where do you see this stabilizing? So just to get a color on that.
Rajit, it depends on how much volume we are going to pick up and in the coming years, I think the coming quarters and years. Broadly, if you recollect, can recapitulate what Chairman Sir said in the AGM, at the AGM. I guess there is some disturbance. Anyway, you'll try to...
Sir Ranjit, can you have to... While management is answering your question, please mute your line.
Hello. I'm from my phone only. I'm not from the hands-free.
There's some background noise. You can just unmute yourself. You can just mute yourself.
Okay.
You can then answer.
Okay. Sure.
Yeah. Can I proceed?
Yes.
Yeah. So, I think if you look at our long-term objective of achieving 10% market share in the global rubber chemical space, then in the medium term to long term, we need to do a performance CAGR of 10%, and that's what we should aim for. And in case we are able to achieve that, I think those operating benefits, optimization benefits, all those leverages will kick in, and you will see big number changes coming in.
Okay, sir. Thanks.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Radha from B&K Securities. Please go ahead.
Yes, thanks again. Just one question, sir. According to you, what are the key drivers that will create value to the shareholders from here on? So there is an ESOP scheme announcement by the company based on performance. So considering this and the global scenario is going to be very volatile. So how are we prepared to beat the global market in this scenario?
Yeah, so I think when we say value, it's value for all stakeholders, right? That includes shareholders and other stakeholders that we're talking about. And for me, value is not only in terms of enhancing our presence and geographical presence in the market, but at the same time doing it in a profitable manner with innovative products. So that's what the whole thing is structured around, and all our efforts are along those lines. given the environment that we are operating in, which is quite uncertain, I think we'll have to continue to focus on our basics. We will have to continue to focus on what we can do, which is within our control, that is best in class, so that we can be competitive globally, and have a plan B and a plan C for every plan that we make. So that's what we do as an organization, and that's what we plan. So I think we and keep the strong engagement with customers, most important, because these are long-term strategic engagements, and I think we will have some choppy waters in between, but long-term engagements will always hold us in good stead. Yeah. That's the way we see it.
So what is the current domestic market share?
About 40%.
Okay. Yeah. Thanks, sir. All the best.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question for today. I now hand the conference over to Mr. B.S. Anand for closing comments.
Thank you. Thank you, everybody, for taking your time. Just a few things from my side as we bring the call to a close. While the uncertain and fluid environment that we just discussed and we operate in presents its set of challenges, it also presents opportunities. As an organization, we are viewing it through the lens of both a microscope and a telescope. A microscope that enables us to activate actions for the here and the now to steer us through this challenging period, and a telescope that enables us to ensure that we have our measures in place to stay on course towards our long-term goals. I hope we have been able to address, if not all your queries, at least most of them, as I take this opportunity to thank you for your support and thank you for investing your valuable time to join us today. Let me also take the opportunity to thank my colleagues at NOSIL for their commitment and passion to adapt and steer the business through these ambiguous times. For any further information, kindly get in touch with me or Strategic Growth Advisors or Investor Relations Advisors. Thank you once again and have a nice day.
Thank you. On behalf of NOSIL Limited, concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.